Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Indie Streak. My name is Rachel Galvin, and as you know, I interview film industry professionals on this show. If you've missed any of my shows, you can go back and listen to the archives. Well, today I'm interviewing director Jose Jaco, who is also founder of Indie Film Club and IndieClub.com. And I think I have him on the line. Let me check here. Let's see, Jose?
Yes, Rachel. Hi.
Hi. Okay, we're going to dive right in. And you've been a director and a producer, and you're the founder of Indie Film Club. How did you get your start?
Yeah, so many titles, right? Well, I got my start, I guess, as a child. Like all of us, we all love movies and storytelling. And I guess, I mean, for me, it began like at a young age, just of being a viewer, basically, beyond a filmmaker, before being a filmmaker. Watching movies, growing up watching Star Wars. I'll never forget the first time my mother took me into this big, wide building, dark. And I go in there, and it's a new reality being shown to me with lightsabers and, like, robes and people fighting each other and, like, stories about father and, like, family issues and all those dear things that we hold to our hearts. And then, like, you know, morphing into later on in life, wanting to tell stories, share these stories with people and become a filmmaker.
Yeah, and how did you get started in filmmaking?
Indie filmmaking for me started with actually was something dear to my heart. My grandmother, who became ill, she wanted to watch movies, but like a lot of the movies weren't in her language since she speaks Spanish. So what I tried to do at like a young age, I was like 16, was to go get my little video camera and try to make movies. But little did I know, like we need actors and other things beyond just, you know, just a camera. So that's when I started just trying to tell soft little stories that she would understand. And then it morphed later to, like, trying to get people and gather up people to make more films together to tell bigger and wider stories to a bigger audience.
And did you go to school for filmmaking, or did you learn on your own?
Well, of course, like all of us, we always start dabbing and trying to do it on our own. But yes, I went to film school, basically. I went to, like, the local colleges have, you know, film, like, screenwriting classes, camera workshops. And then, like, once in a while in town, as you'll see everywhere nowadays, there's camera workshops, how to edit your film. Like, these workshops come into town, and they're usually, like, under $100 or something like that, and you could take it, and it's basically film school all in one package. I've even taken acting courses just to kind of see if I can, like, communicate with actors when I'm directing. So, yeah.
And I know you were, just one of the projects you worked on, you were a line producer for Fractured Minds, and you had to go out of town, out of state, I believe, to do that, right?
Yes, that was an exhilarating project. It was made by Rene Fornari, Terrence Lee, and Frank Battiston, the director. So we went out to South Carolina to do the shoot, and it was a horror film, a horror short film. I started with Renee trying to, like, make the story more cohesive and, like, to bring it all together. We were trying to do it here in South Florida, but the producers felt that, you know, doing it in South Carolina would add more feel and dimension to the film, and they were totally right. So we were out there for, like, 2 weeks, shooting these films, getting all the local community involved. We had the local paper, like, come to us and, like, you know, do a little story about us unexpectedly. We were, like, on the main road. People were, like, being so kind to us. But, yeah, what an experience it was to do a horror short in South Carolina in the dark and with, like, a budget, with a tiny budget. And I feel so satisfied with it.
Why did you guys pick South Carolina over any place else?
Well, like I was saying, like, the producers, they felt that it would add to the feel of the story, since it was a story about, like, driving down the road and a relationship that kind of breaks up, and the horrors that come with it. So we added the horror element to kind of balance out what a relationship goes through. So there's a couple about, they're about to break up, and there's cheating involved, and basically we represent the monster as the entity of the breakup. You know, how, like, sometimes there's a breakup could come at any time, so we symbolically gave the representation to the monster as the one who comes in between them. And it's either they got to fight the monster together or leave, which is either leave the relationship as well. So yeah, we kind of infused all that together into, and it won some awards, which I was so like grateful it did. Yeah,
it got a lot of press too. And tell us a little bit about what a line producer does.
A line producer, which I admittedly was like, you know, pretty bad at in the beginning because, you know, we're I'm used to my local community here in Miami and I can usually get things for free here. But, you know, going to another state, it's a lot of trying to figure out how they work, you know, where their rental houses are, you know, like trying to find the budget, make it more cost effective, your film, your project, you know. So it's everything from like the details of breakfast, like what you should be eating, to the dinners, to what should be catered, to how much gas you're spending from location to location. Is it worth sending that PA for to do a run? Can it hold over to the next day to do it all in one, you know, basically a shopping trip? So it's a lot of things that go beyond, like, you know, the paying of the actors and paying for locations. I mean, and it happens in every movie. There's always complications. It's always better to have a plan B for everything.
Yeah. And you were also involved in Tainted Touch with some of the same people. Tell me about that project.
Yeah, actually, Tainted Touch came before this, and that's how I met him. I came in as a PA. I've known Renee for like a long time, a sweet man, part of Walking Wolf Productions. And I came on board, I mean, like as a PA. And, you know, I mean, one big moment for me was just holding up a light, you know, like holding up a light outside a window. You know, and it's funny because now people are like, wow, you do that? And I do. I come onto film sets. I'm serving coffee. I could do things like that. I mean, people know me as like the Indie Film Club guy, but I work with different types of people. And I don't mind my role. I just love being part of the whole movie making experience.
But you've also directed, you did the 48-hour film fest with your movie Skip Nation, which won. Tell me about that project.
Oh, that project, I mean, like, it's insane fun. It's like all these two-day film festivals or one-day film festivals. The director, Kathleen Dean, she's done it for the last, I think, 6 years now. And, yeah, it was a great experience. You get a team, you assemble a team, like, you go to the event, you get a producer, an editor, a writer, a director, a camera person, and you kind of make a quasi-team together, and you get the element of the story given to you, and you got to go out there and make it in 2 days. But, like, this year, I mean, like, that year, because it was 2 years ago that I won the Audience Award for Skip Nation, it was, again, like, me personally, I like to work with different people every project I do. I don't really have my set people. So it was a great experience. I mean, on the drive back after we find out that we have our theme, we basically came up with a story in the car in traffic driving up. And it was about Skip Nation. It's about, like, you know how planking overwhelmed the nation, about planking people taking pictures? Well, we wanted to start a new trend. We wanted to kind of make a mockery of, like, not the United States, but, like, how we as a society, you know, gravitate to, like, silly things. So we wanted to start the next big thing, which is skipping. So we had everybody from, like, wealthy people skipping to, like, thugs in the city and the urban, you know, gangs skipping, you know, you can't skip better than me type of stuff. So it came out so quirky and fun, and it was like a short little piece. It was just me and a camera person. That's all my crew was, because I couldn't really find anybody. But I had the most talented actors, and they won it. They basically held the whole film together. So, yeah, it was amazing.
What is it like with being there? I mean, that's a short period of time. So did you work the whole time putting it together?
Oh, yeah, basically. So I kind of I came up with the story with Ambar Cologne. And basically, since I was producer-director, I had to go find the locations. I had to combine locations. I had to, like, make sure, like, the film was going to work, because it was only two people. It was me and the camera person, basically. It was no sound or nothing. So the sound was recorded straight to the camera. So that's why if you see the film online or something, it kind of doesn't sound right. But I had to think of all these logistics using my producer senses to be like, all right, I got to make sure I have a break. I got to make sure the actors know their lines. You know, some actors just went off on their own. So I had to trust them as a director. I'm like, you know what you're talking about, and just let them go. Other ones, I had to be with them on the page. Okay, we got to do it again because you missed a line. You missed the funny part. You know, let loose. I had to be there. So it was like such an exhilarating experience. And people who watch me do that, especially the actors, I gain such a respect for them, because they saw like what I had to work with and what came out at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. And you did another piece that I don't know about called Yo Soy Hialeah, which is a documentary. Tell me about that.
Yeah, okay. So Hialeah Racetrack is doing a rebranding of itself. It's going to open up a new casino like within the next few months. So it's trying to bring back the whole like mess of crowd that I had before. You know, it was basically back in the days of Winston Churchill was there. Amelia Earhart, her last departure was from Hialeah Racetrack, you know, before she got, you know, before she the appearance. Yeah, I know, these fun facts, and they have these historical little museums inside Hialeah Racetrack, and I went there, you know, they still do the horse racing, they still have the flamingos in the middle thing, and every time at 1 o'clock, they shoot up a gun, and flamingos fly around, like, the whole, like, racetrack, and they go back to the middle. So it's like, it has so many, like, unique moments. So Frank Fior, the person who runs it now, contacted me and Human Pictures, is a documentary company based out of South Florida, and they wanted to do like a revitalization, a reawareness of like what's happening at Hialeah Racetrack. So we did this like amazing, beautifully shot, if anything, like, and we captured the heart and soul of what Hialeah Racetrack is, and we embraced the history and I guess the future, what's coming up to it, and bring it up to today's age so people of our age or younger, because I'm already old, could go over there and experience what racetrack is. I mean, like, what a wonderful scene, these majestic animals that are, like, just running down the racetrack. And you probably remember, there was a movie where Richard Dreyfuss, Let It Ride. It was shot in the 80s, and it took place in Hialeah Racetrack. So all this, they're embracing. So we brought that back with that documentary.
Wow. So is that out to be seen somewhere, or how do people see it?
Yeah. So what we did for them, we shot little pieces because we wanted to prove to the Frank Fior and Hialeah Racetrack that it's something worthy of what we could do. We could handle it. So it's right now it's online. If you go to Yo Soy Hialeah, Hialeah Racetrack, you'll find it online on YouTube. But we're conceptualizing like a big documentary for it just on its own, which hasn't come out yet.
Okay, so this is kind of like a pilot sort of or a short film to kind of lead to a bigger film?
Yeah. So you'll be online. There's like five segments, five little like 5-minute pieces on Hialeah Racetrack.
Are you looking for funding for that or what's stopping you from doing the feature?
Well, no. It's self-funded because Hialeah Racetrack is like one.
Okay.
Okay,
so this is kind of almost like a trailer.
Yeah, exactly.
In a way. Okay. And you've also done some music videos. Anything else that you want to kind of point out that you directed?
Yeah, like, okay, so this year also, like, I was introduced to doing some music videos. And one is for a Spanish band called Hola Hi. They're from New Orleans. And they contacted us because they find out that I'm running the Indie Film Club. So we conceptualized it over, like, two nights, like, this music video about, like, letting yourself go and understanding where you are, and sometimes the blandness of life can overwhelm you, and that there's more, and always you got to keep looking up. So we made this kind of story where they're trapped in a white room with everything just bland, nothing colorful, but then they start looking up, and there's a hole, and there's a world of color and like illustrations and like magic happening, and they have to find a way out. So they eventually climb out, they leave, but that's the essence of what they wanted from the story. So we did it with Gianfranco Bianchi, who's also like a graphic artist. So he made it a surreal world that once they escape, it's like magical happening. It's going to be released at Film Day, which is the event I guess we're going to talk about soon. And a premiere of the music video.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. And you were also in a music video, which I was also in, for Planeta Desconocido, which is now called Planet X 2, The Frozen Moon. Keeps changing its name.
Yes.
The music video was Time to Go the Sacrifice by Scott Apilia. And I know my own experiences on the set, but what was that like for you, being on the set so early and everything?
Oh, that's so much fun. I mean, like, I got to meet Wanda Miles. I mean, Troy and Eric, amazing, fabulous people. I love them with all my heart. And just to be asked to do something like that, I was so honored. I mean, I made it on time. I got to see you. I was like, hey, what are you doing here? And it was such a such a phenomenal, just to like experience it, running and doing multiple exercises that I would never do so early in the morning was like exhilarating for me. Yeah. And to be part of a sci-fi, even a sci-fi music video, oh, that's it. I'm melting, you know.
Yeah. You were an orc, and running in sand and everything. I had to run too, but you ran a lot more than I did.
Yeah, no. I had to do a lot of chasing of people, a lot of laser blasting. Yeah, a typical Troy and Eric film, yeah.
Yeah, I interviewed Troy and Eric 2 weeks ago, so if anybody missed that interview, I have several interviews with Troy, in fact, that they can go back and listen to. What do you think has been your most challenging project of everything that you've done?
Well, I guess, I don't know if this will lead me to a segue to what I'm about to say, but I guess it's the film festival and being part of this indie film club movement, that's been my most challenging. I don't know if that would answer your question, but that's been the most challenging and the most satisfying because a lot of people, like many people have been united because of this film, nonprofit film organization that we started. And nothing is more rewarding to be like to see people that have never met themselves before, and then after the event they come, they meet up, and then like two events later, they have a film. They've done a film together, and they're excited, and we've made brothers and sisters of each other in our own film community, and that's something that I feel like it just warmed my heart, and I just want to keep on doing just that.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I actually have been a member of your Indie Film Club, which is online. You send out castings. That's how you kind of started sending those out, and I've been a member for years and years and years. And I remember you had an event, I think it was at Alligator Alley back in like 2006, you were showing a few movies on this little TV, and there was like hardly anybody there. One of the only people there. And now you have these huge events that are sold out down in Miami. So tell us a little bit about how you started and the evolution of this.
Okay. So the way I started is because, remember back when I was telling you about my grandmother, I couldn't find anyone. So this is back in the AOL days, back in the dial-up modem days. I would go to every college and school, because before they used to have corkboard, and I would post up, hey, there's a film club. I'm making this film club. Let's get together. You know, I got some people, okay, but that wasn't enough. Lo and behold, like now, it's so much easier to just, like, make call-outs and get people together, there's meet-up groups and, like, you know, Twitter and Facebook and MySpace, you know, in between there, that helped a lot. But, yeah, I mean, for example, the Alligator Alley. His name was Greg. Greg Pitts, I believe. Now, that guy that I showed at that place with you were there, and I think only four other people, he's working out in NBC now. Like, he's like an actual director, in the business. You know, he will never remember that night that we had all together, all six of us, and a little, like, color TV, you know? But he got to show his film, and they just kept on going with his dream. I mean, and that's one of the stories that gets lost in this, all of this. But it's amazing. Mm-hmm. And now it's come out to, like, now, like, all the allegiances that I've made throughout the years, you know, holding my events at the Marlins Hotels and meeting people along the way, they still remember me. I mean, I'm a short guy, but I'm pretty memorable. And they've helped me. They've helped me. And now that they see me doing it again, they joined up. They joined up, and they see a cause happening. And having seven sold-out events, like I'm Not Going to Move to LA events, which is just about local filmmakers or films made in South Florida, it's been grand. I mean, to be covered on NPR, WLRN, the Sun Sentinel, the Miami Herald, the New Times, has been, like, overwhelming. Like, I can't, like, now there's, like, people like, hey, Jocko, how can I help? And I'm like, let's do it. Help is what we need. You know, we all need to be together on this. So, yeah, it's been exhilarating. It's been a wild ride, and we need to do more.
So your I'm Not Going to Move to L.A. events have been more showing films, but now you're kind of going beyond that with Filmgate a little bit. Tell me about that.
Okay. So Filmgate is, definitely. Filmgate is an interactive film festival. And what's happening now, Rachel, is that The time has come for a change in, like, the way we view movies or storytelling is told. before, it's like I see it almost like the conversion of black and white TV to color TV, or from like radio to TV, from like reading, you know, watching things on the TV to internet being bought in our lifetime that we got to see. Now there's a thing of transmedia, okay? It's kind of still loose out there, but it exists. And transmedia is all about telling your story in two or three different platforms. We now live in an age with super cool cell phones. We live in an age with internet. So, like, basically what transmedia is to tell a story in two or more different kind of platforms. So either through music or through, like, theater or through just film and dance. So a combination of where you could tell a story and immerse the audience more. Because, you know, there's studies out there, the more you bring your audience in, the more you could create a following, the more branding you could do, and the more overall money and business you could do when you immerse your audience with your content. So that's what we're trying. Well, that's what we're doing with Filmgate 2013, is make it interactive. We have people from Star Trek, the one that's about to come out, sending us like apps, so our audience can like be more immersed with the film experience. We have people from like Canada flying in to talk about transmedia. Her name is Erica Hergreave. She's a TED talker about transmedia and how it's going to light up like the industry. And like, so that's why I really don't want our South Florida people, like artists, to be left out. Like, that's why I feel like if we make like a point of meetup as far as like Filmgate, we could all introduce this to each other and we could find little other avenues of business to keep alive. You know, an actor doesn't have to just be on stage or just be in a film. They could introduce their art in so many different other platforms.
Yeah, okay. So tell, like, get more specific about Filmgate and who's going and what it is that people are going to see when they go there.
Okay, so the first thing we did, we had to get a name. Kind of like what the Miami Heat did with getting LeBron and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh together. We felt we needed names to come in. And that's something we want to do every year, bring names that people know. So Philip Bloom, we're flying him from across the pond. He's from the UK. He's an amazing cinematographer. We got together to get some grants and we got some money together to bring him in. So we reduced the price of his workshops to $250. And basically, if you have a DSLR camera, if you're your own camera person, filmmaker, this is the guy you want to listen to. This is the guy who will show you beyond the capabilities of what you could do. So we asked not to show a beginner class. We asked them not to show an intermediate, but a master class. Because he already told us, look, make sure your people know on my website, on his website, philipbloom.net, that you can find all the intermediate, all the beginner stuff. Come to my workshop to get mastered, get a master class of stuff. So there's only like 50 seats left of for the workshop. And basically he's going to be hands-on with us trying to making you learn like his philosophy, how he views things, because he's a different mind. He's not like he's beyond a teacher. You'll see where like his eyes don't really, he's always looking for a shot. He's always looking like what appeals to him. So have you seen his work? I don't know if you have, Rachel. Like, it's exhilarating.
I might have, but I not realized it, you know?
You might have not realized. Yeah, he'll make a lot look cinematic and majestic, yeah. So that's the first person we got in, and we already got, like, hits all across the board just because bringing him in. So we also got Alejandro Jodorowsky. He's the guy who did Holy Motors. I'm not Holy Mountain. Holy Mountain. Sorry, I'm confusing my movies. Holy Mountain. And Holy Mountain was actually produced by John Lennon and back in the 70s. And he's this very visual, artistic kind of director. And if you see his films, he intertwines, like, symbolism and messages about humanity and, like, the issues that we all have as a species on this planet all into his films. And he's been doing this since the 70s. So We got him to do a Q&A with our audience at Miami Beach Cinematheque on February 3rd. And he's going to be able to do a retrospective there. We're going to show all his films, like, every Sunday. And we're going to have a Q&A for our Filmgate series of his retrospective. So he's going to be on Skype talking to people about his film and answering all the questions they want. And
right.
So that's the second one. And the third, I don't know if you remember Dave Grohl from Nirvana.
Uh-huh.
the drummer. Okay. Well, he has a documentary which is called Sound City, and it's being debuted at our event as well, as a Florida premiere at our theater at Old Cinema. And it's an amazing movie about like the changing of documentary, sorry, about the change of like the guard, the changing of like how everything's gone digital. You know, this is back in the day. Sound City, it was a recording studio that basically like held all the rock bands that we used to grow up with, all the musicians from like the Doors, Rolling Stones, all these people. And now it's being closed down for like some urban revitalization of its city. So now it's like these musicians are looking back and saying, what's going on here? Are we moving too fast? You know? So this documentary, actually, I just saw an article on Sundance because that's where it's being premiered this week, just got rave reviews. And we're just so excited to have it here as a Florida premiere at Film Day. Yeah, 2013.
Wow.
So those are the headliner three things that are happening at our event. We have tons of free workshops. We have tons of also like free events because we want people to absorb this transmedia, this cross-platform storytelling method. We want to show everyone in our city, this is what you guys could do. Look, anybody could do it. It's just about crossing platforms, using your phone. There's apps in your phone that you could use to include your audience more into the story. So at our website, film-gate.org, you could find out all the events, all the free events. We don't want to charge. We know times are tough. So we're trying to see if we could either keep the prices low or make it free. So if you guys are welcome to come out, I mean, this seating is limited, but we can make it happen.
And what are the dates for this, for the Film Gate?
Okay, so starting today, we're like 12 days away. It's February 1st to the 3rd. It's a weekend. It's actually Super Bowl weekend. So if you guys are not too much into the Super Bowl, well, actually, we designed, because Super Bowl is on the Sunday. Super Bowl starts, like, I think, at 8 or something. But we made sure that our event stops way before that, so you'll have time to go to do your Super Bowl stuff. So it is February 1st through the 3rd. We start off on February 1st with just the music portion of our transmedia showcase. So we're going to start, like, we're going to have only six bands. And I don't know, Rachel, if you remember VH1 Storytellers or MTV Unplugged.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. So it's, yeah, perfect, because it'll be easier for me to describe. So we have six bands, like six bands that we kind of scoured the not only the city but nationally to introduce. And they're going to be singing, you know, doing their piece, their song, performing, but they're going to be telling a story of how they came to that song or an experience about where that song came from. And it's part of our storyteller thing. So that's transmedia to some degree. You know, we're starting with the basics. We're telling a story through a song. So that's one of the first levels. So we're trying to introduce it to the people so they can kind of get a gulp of what's happening. And then after the four bands perform and do their kind of storytelling kind of series, which is called Spinners of Sound, we'll showcase Sound City, which is the Dave Grohl documentary inside the theater. And then we have a kickoff party at this place called The Vagabond. It's a very hip place. That's where Rock of Ages was shot, in that little area. Yeah. We're having it in that area, you know, because it's film-related. We want to stick with our film-related people. So that's going to happen near there. At The Vagabond, we're going to have a kickoff party, and we're going to have introducing two bands called Tusk and Kodiak Fur, upcoming bands, which in a year they'll probably be so famous that we'll be like, damn, we missed it. We could have been there. So I want to make sure people go out to check that out. And we're going to have some surprise, like, transmedia events going on there, just so people keep on getting the idea of what's happening as far as what transmedia is. And that's February 1st, just basically music-related, if you can remember that. February 2nd, which is a Saturday, is the Philip Bloom Workshop. It's happening at the Miami Beach Cinematheque from 10 to 6. We have an excursion. So basically, we're going to grab the whole class with Philip Bloom, and we're going to take them out somewhere in the city to kind of finish off the basic workshop. You know, so it's a field trip infused into the workshop. While that's happening on the beach, on Miami Beach, on the mainland in the Wynwood area, we're going to have transmedia. We're going to have events called, like, WTF is transmedia, like what the F is transmedia, hosted by Erica Hargreaves. She's coming from Canada. She's flying in for one day just to do this class on what's transmedia, how to tell your story on so many different platforms, and so on and so on. We're going to have events. I mean, some of the events even I produced. I got some local actors. I got some local dancers as well. And we're performing, like, little transmedia pieces for free just so the public could get an idea of what they could do in the future and how they can incorporate their audience more. And then we're going to have the feature, I'm Not Going to Move to Play series. We're going to kick it off this year. It's 1 month off because we were supposed to start it last month. But, yeah, I'm Not Going to Move to LA begins. We have six local filmmakers, and we're going to be showcasing their work. And we have a lot of stuff that goes on into I'm Not Going to Move to LA as far as, like, film trivia and, like, a game show Japanese atmosphere. So it's kind of fun. And plus, you get to throw stuff at the filmmakers. You guys understand if you guys show up because it's hard to explain. I don't want to give it away. So, yeah. So that's what's going to happen on Saturday. And then, of course, on Friday, we're going to have a whole day. I'm calling it, like, the Filmmakers Workshop Transmedia Extravaganza. We're going to have a lawyer come in to talk about, like, what to do, you know, how to make sure you're not, like, getting involved in something you shouldn't get involved in as far as, like, laws and policies and copyright. We have a camera workshop. We have Billy Corbin from Raconteur
Films. Who I've also interviewed.
You always interview everyone, isn't that fair? So, yeah, he's coming now. We have, I believe, Graham Winnick. And Stag Indie, actually, I don't have her name right now on me, but she's from Stag Indie, and she's going to talk about, like, how to make a film and not make your mom go, you know, bail you out with bail money or something like that. That's the name of our event.
Right.
So it's going to be hosted by Billy Corbin and Graham Winnick, Kevin Sharpley, and, of course, I believe you know Kevin.
Yeah.
And this lady from Psych India, she's going to kill me. So that's what we have going. So we're going to start off with a free workshop, and then we're going to have a paying workshop. It costs $40 for the whole day or $10 for each class you want to, but it's very, like, inclusive things that we want to make sure that people leave knowing with what's going on and up to date, like, update yourself with technology, update yourself with just, like, how things are done in the field. And then we also concluding the night back on the beach on that Sunday night, we have Horodowski's Q&A. We're going to be showing El Topo, which is a Western. It's like a Sergio Leone's kind of Western his vision. And it's going to be shown at Miami Beach Cinematheque. And that's going to be full fast because everybody's been trying to get this Alejandro Horodowski to even come to our city, but we were able to, I mean, actually, through the use of my Spanish skills, which I never thought was going to come into use, watching a lot of telenovelas and a lot of Univision and Telemundo, we were able to talk to him, and he's like, yeah, I'll do Skype, and so we'll have a Q&A for our audience, you know, and that's it. And that's what FilmGate is about. We're going to be talking about Indie Film Club and how we can help throughout the year. Because it's like a festival. It only comes once a year, and that's it. They don't show up till 365 days later. 364. But we want to be there year round for our filmmakers, for our visual artists, because it's not just filmmakers anymore. So that's what we want to do. Make sure Indie Film Club is stamped on everybody's like memory before they leave.
So if somebody wants to get involved, let's say next year, how would they contact you?
Well, of course, people can see me around, like the city all around. I'm easy to get a hold of, or the best way is to go to indiefilmclubmiami.com. That's the best way to kind of just get a reach a hold of everybody. I work with Deliana Alexander. I think you've met her before, Rachel. She's from Toronto. I call her the Toronto Terror. She's an amazing producer. She's like a brain. To me, like, she should be like, I don't know. I feel blessed that she's part of our organization and that she's taking it. She's taking it. A lot of people go up to her, hey, can you make our movies? And she declines stuff. And not to feel bad, it's that she really so focused and targeted on what she needs to do. But she is the one who's made, you know, basically all this possible. And we're so grateful to, you know. But she's the one who, if you contact indiefilmclubmiami.com, you'll get in touch with her fast because she always wants to see what you could offer, what could we do to help you, and she'll figure out something, how to make it work.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time. Is there any other website that you want to give before we go?
Okay. The only things I want people to remember, because time is crunching down, is film-gate.org, which is the Film Festival Interactive site for this year, and then indiefilmclubmiami.com, and that's, you can reach that year-round. And just, I mean, make movies, people. Make movies. Do what your heart desires. Let's tell a story. Let's get people engaged, and not just in your own city, but throughout the world, and we could do this together.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for being on the show, Jose. And I'm sure I will talk to you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And I will talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Missy. Bye.
Thanks. Bye. Okay, well, that was Jose Jacko, the famous Jose Jacko from Filmgate and Indie Film Club. And I guarantee you that what he's putting together, I mean, it's grown so much, but it's going to go crazy. I just feel it. It's going to be everywhere. Everyone's going to be talking about this after it happens. And already people are starting to talk about what he's doing. And it's really amazing because I've known him for a long time. And to see what he, you know, how it's expanded is pretty cool. Of course, he's always busy in film meetings constantly. But I guess that's what it takes to get things done. Anyway, guys, I thank you for tuning in today. If you missed any of that great interview, you can go back and you can listen to it because it will be archived, of course. And you can go back and listen to any of the interviews. Like I mentioned, I interviewed Troy Bernier and Eric Swain 2 weeks ago from Planeta Desconocido, which is now called Planet X, to the Frozen Moon. I can't keep the name straight. And I've interviewed Troy several other times as well. And in addition, we mentioned Billy Corbin from Raconteur. I've interviewed him on this show too. So if you're not familiar with him or you want to find out more about him and you're a fan, you can go back and listen to that interview along with all the other interviews that I've done in the past. Well, next week, guys, I am scheduled to interview with Diana Laura, the beautiful Diana Laura. She's an actress. She's a philanthropist. She has gotten a ton of notice all over the world for some of the things that she's been in and done. And she's also the founder for Women in the Arts. And, of course, I won Web Radio Show of the Year. Thank you very much for Women in the Arts, which was a contest, so to speak, that she had. She got nominations and then people voted from all over the world, could vote in on different awards. So I happened to win Web Radio Show of the Year, which was really awesome, and I was very grateful for that. But it'll be very interesting to talk to Diana next week because she's involved in a project called Repulsive. She's in the movie, and I want to talk to her about that and some of the other projects she's been in, including Caught in the Middle, which I mentioned 2 weeks ago. I'm also in Caught in the Middle, and I had a screening for the film that, unfortunately, she wasn't able to go to, but I was at for Caught in the Middle, and I will be talking to her more about her involvement in that and how she took it to CNN and different things. So tune in next week, guys, for that. And again, if you missed any of the shows, go back and listen. And just keep tuning in every Sunday because I have more great directors that are coming on board to speak to me. And if you are a director and you'd like to be on this program, please contact me. My email is ravenprods, ravenprods, @yahoo.com. If for some reason I don't get back to you, please remind me because I do get a ton of mail, and if it somehow slips through the cracks, please remind me. I won't be upset if you email me again, okay? Because I should follow up with you, and if I didn't, that means something happened, so please contact me. Let's see what else, guys. I guess that's about it, but like Jose said, go out there, make some movies, and get yourself educated on different processes and things that you can do to make your filmmaking experience even better. If you aren't here and you can't go to Filmgate, I know you go to all these other festivals like Sundance. My friend Aaron Shore is out at Sundance documenting it, and it's pretty amazing. There's stuff going on all over the place no matter where you live. So seek out those filmmakers, everybody, and have fun. And find out more about this transmedia. I want to find out more, too. And I will be reporting more on that as well. All right, guys, I will see you next Sunday or talk to you next Sunday. Thank you so much. All right, bye-bye.